بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد Monday the 13th of November 2000 Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى لا انفصام لها والله سميع عليم. Last week we looked at the verse لا إكراه في الدين, and from the tafsir of this verse we picked up a few interesting points. And this week, before we carry on with the same verse, I would like, for my own curiosity, and I have been thinking over this for the past, I think, 4 or 5 weeks, for me to know that I am effective in teaching, or in rather in conveying the message of what is this tafsir all about, I would like to know how much people remember. Because not only is there the issue of important messages being conveyed in certain few verses, but at certain times people misunderstand what I am trying to say, or people don't understand it properly, and then what happens is that as it goes on they either forget or they keep the wrong conception in their minds. And this is something that must be avoided at all costs. So, before I go on, I would like somebody today to summarize what we learnt about Tawheed in Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء. It's a long verse. I am not asking somebody to give us details of what Arsh and Kursi is all about. I am asking you a question. What have you understood as far as Allah's existence goes? Because remember, the first important verses that we talked about was Allahu la ilaha illahu. Allah, there is no other God but. How did you understand that?
The first thing I think we talked about was that curiously Allah doesn't try to prove He exists, it is an assumed thing. More or less the verses of the Quran try to explain more about His existence rather than proving His existence.
So His existence is a foregone conclusion?
According to Quranic verses, okay.
And then He proves that, He proves that in the Quran by asking the Prophet, if you ask the people who bring the rain from the skies and who is this, they will reply to you, Allah. And they ask, where are the worshippers? So the fact that I exist is not even matter, because even they will tell you.
That exists a power, an entity we cannot understand.
That's not the question of today.
Okay.
Then we discussed the two qualities were there.
Al-Hayy al-Qayyum.
Yeah, which are from which spring all the rest of the sifat.
The mother of the sifat.
Mother of all sifat.
That either the names of Allah fall into one or the other, either His Qudra, to do with His Qudra or His wish, will. One is to do with His Qudra. Those are the names that fall under that category. And one is Irada.
One rather an action. And one is an existence, and one is an action. And that's also how we
discuss it. Fadzatiya and fi'aliya.
Yeah.
I have been getting answers from only these two people. Or are they the most talkative ones?
Probably.
Did you get?
Yeah. They said that Allah exists in the form of a creed in the Quran. And also the fact that the Quran is applicable to all time. In our time, we see that some of the major intellectual debate is whether Allah exists or not in the first place, especially in the West.
So, this is a question you're asking. It's an interesting question. In our times, we have a major debate in whether Allah exists or not. Right? We have atheists arguing that Allah does not exist. Yet, according to the language of the Quran, the existence of Allah is a foregone conclusion. It is whether He is only one or many powers put together. How would you answer that? Let's see, we're talking of understanding the Quran in combating these things, these arguments. Here is an argument not asking you to prove the existence of Allah. Here is an argument making sure that we understand the genre of the Quran's language. The Quran is talking in a certain direction. The Quran is talking based on arguments that, look, Allah exists. Right? Now he is asking a question. Nowadays, modern day intellectuals or thinkers or philosophers, they stem from this argument first. Let's prove first whether Allah exists or not.
I think if you look at it, we get confused by actually using the word Allah. When we say Allah, we understand something very specific, the way we understand it, the way Islam teaches us. But every person, if you look at, even if he's an atheist, he believes there's a single creation. Whether he calls that the everlasting spirit or the Big Bang or what came before that or whatever, everybody believes in an origin. And everybody's searching for something as well. You find all these new religions, what do you call New Age and this and that. There was a quote called G.K. Chesterton. He said, when a man stops believing in God, he doesn't believe in anything. Then he doesn't believe in nothing, he believes in anything. You look, every person today is searching for something. That's the instinct inside them. And they all believe in an origin. Except they maybe refuse to believe that origin is intelligent, or that origin is sentient, or that origin gives a damn after he created. So those are the things people argue about. I don't think anybody will say to you there was no single source of origin.
The majority of philosophers, they give the argument for the existence of God, and then they say that these do not prove completely they exist, so ultimately we don't know.
What I'm saying is they all believe. Proof you can never have. I don't think you can ever have proof. Because when you use the word proof, you have to ask yourself, what do you mean? In the science of the Western science that we all understand today, proof is only there if you can define something within the boundaries of physics and mathematics. If you can't define it within those two boundaries, there is no proof. And Allah, by definition, cannot be defined within these boundaries. He's the one who created and existed before they existed. But this is the limitation of our term proof. What we understand is proof. Any scientist in the world will tell you proof is if you can define it in a mathematical, physical model. But that's what proof is in English.
We agree that the world is diverging, right? I mean, we agree that we're all originated from a very focused point, and it's diverging. That's the way this is. There's a source, right? So that source, you call it what you want. When you sit on an atheist and tell him, okay, there's no God, but do you believe there is an origin to the universe, that it began something, or do you think it's just as it is now? No, there was an origin. Now what that origin is, they're waiting for science to come. But by and large, atheists are a bit lazy in their thinking. Agnostics who are saying, look, we're searching, but we don't have the proof. This, I think, is just a label for somebody who can't bother to really think along these lines at all. Very easy to say I'm an atheist.
Let's put it this way. The way I look at it is that we are people who believe in the Quran, right? And the Quran is telling us, is laying down the parameters of arguments. And the arguments are, Allah is telling us, right? Remember that. Allah is telling us that He has created human beings in such a manner that instinctively they are searching for a Lord, for a God, for a superpower, right? Instinctively. So, the existence of Allah is a foregone conclusion in the instincts of every human. As a result of that instinct, what has happened is that they have been either led astray or their efforts of searching are misfounded. in the sense that they have found an idol sometimes, or they worship the sun, the stars, the moon, the rivers, fire, and so on. That means that instinct of worship is always there, right? Now, when it comes to atheists, you will find a hadith and a Quran. Quran gives no reference to people who don't believe in the existence of a God. No reference to that, right? Because Allah, simply being the creator himself, refuses to acknowledge anybody who will ever be in a state of not believing in Allah. He refuses to acknowledge. Somebody who rejects kafara is somebody else. It's nothing to do with atheist. Kafara is to refuse or reject the existence or the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we have been taught by the Holy Prophet in the Imam. Right? So you turn away from the guidance that... That is the interesting part, that when we study the verse La ikraha fi al-deen, the verse that comes after that is قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيْبِ. Right?
Just to comment, even the word kufr, doesn't it mean to cover up? And Allah is saying that this person doesn't just reject it, he knows and he covers it.
Exactly. The verses mentioned are that these people are rejecting it despite knowing it deep down in their hearts. Right? So, an atheist is not even acknowledged in the Quran. And therefore, if you look at the translation of rushd and ghay, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there is no compulsion in religion, why? Because تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيْ. Rushd is what translated as?
Distinct.
As what?
No.
Manifest.
No, truth.
Truth.
From error. Oh, sorry, truth, right.
Truth has been manifest from?
Error.
Made distinct from error.
From error. Whereas in Arabic, truth is haqq. تَبَيَّنَ الْحَقِّ. There is a difference between تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيْ and حَقُّ مِنَ الْبَاطِلِ. Or al-huda min al-dalal. You know, huda, hidayat. Dalal is misguided, right? Astray. That he has not used. He has not used haqq and batil, that haqq is zahir, you know, tabayyan al-haqq min al-batil. No. He says tabayyan al-rushd min al-ghay. You know what is the meaning of rushd and ghay? What is rushd? Rushd apekil, you know, a boy, a young child, before he or she becomes baligh, there is that maturity that comes in. Mumayyiz, right?
Able to tell right from wrong.
Somebody who can discern what is right and what is wrong. That is advent of rushd. Right? Rashid. Now, what does that mean? If I put it crudely in translation, it would mean sensible and nonsense. Simply put, it is not ki haqq and batil. It is something that makes sense. تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيْءِ. What is there, everything that is there makes a lot of sense, and whatever is there that they tend to follow is nonsense. But they keep on going there. So the difference in dalal and ghay is that in dalal they have made an effort, but they are misguided. In ghay they are not making an effort. In rushd also, you make an effort and you go to the right path. Rushdma, you don't make an effort, but you know what is right. In Ghaima, they know what is nonsense. This, what they have been doing, is not acceptable at all. So, تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيْءِ, that whatever has been made clear to them is that is sensible to them. Despite that, they are refusing to. Now, don't force them. Eloko, they have not realized what it is. You see, Ajay, apreshane, we have been born into families, or we are born Muslims, or even ask converts, they have learned the truth. That means they have learned what is right. They have learned the concept of Tawheed, of Adalat, of Imamat. They have realized what is Haq, not what is Rushd. Rushd is when that person who is not religious comes to his senses and says, nah, I have to learn more about religion. And then he embarks on a path to learn haqq. So, تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ, that means that even for people who are not religious, there is enough for them to understand, to attract them towards being religious. So in such an environment, in such an atmosphere that Allah is explaining, there is no place for Christ. That's all. And I believe personally, based on what guidance the Quran is giving, atheist to us, sathe argue karo bekarche. Not meaning that the Imams did not, the Imams did. The Imams had the arguments and discussions with Zanadiq, right? Zindiq is a word that means atheist. During the time of Imam Rida alayhi salam, who has, I think, the most narrations where he used to discuss about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talked to Zanadiq, and Zanadiq, Zindiq are those people who simply don't have an understanding of the concept of existence of Allah. Right? The Imam used to argue with them. I'm not saying Amara was the haram cheek, you know. What I'm saying is atheists, atyare, they're trying to focus, turn away from the main issue. The main issue is Tawheed, the only unique existence of Allah, or one existence of Allah, as opposed to any other powers, right? Rather than proving the existence of Allah. So, la ikraha fi al-deen qad tabayyana ar-rushdu min al-ghay. That instinct to realize or to recognize what is right and what is wrong is already there. And you will see that even those people who are atheists, who don't believe in God, know what is good and what is bad. What is good as in akhlaq, right? They know what is right and what is wrong. They know justice from injustice. So all these concepts are clearly in their minds. They know what is right. They know what is wrong. Abarabanati, abarabanati. So if they were just to think over those things that they know, which is instinctive, it would take them to the existence of Allah. No doubt about it. Especially when it comes to justice and injustices that are going on. Who will take care of the injustices that are going on and so on. It leads you back to the day of judgment and to Allah. Right. Now, last week we were discussing La Ikraha fi al-Deen. At least I know you were not there. So, who will summarize what we discussed? Corporate is our first. Let's give a chance to somebody else. Yes, sir.
There were at least two interpretations of that, that there is no compulsion for belief. One was that looking at the next thing, it says we need to be distinct from error. It could mean that there is no need for compulsion because the truth has been made, you know, it's there right in front of your eyes. So there is no need to compare the new attention. And the other interpretation could have been that there is no way you can actually. There's two types of religion, he says. One is the practical kind of fast, pray, and that's the kind of stuff that has been possible, so you have the command to do that. But the actual belief inside you, nobody can force you to do that because there's no way of proving that is inside you. There's no way you can compel somebody to believe. You may say you believe, but you may not actually.
Okay, awesome. How much beige? How much beige was? Last week, how much beige? Yeah?
Just of it.
We also looked at the other ayat. We are told that go out and kill them.
Yeah.
You went through what?
Whether this verse was abrogated by the verse of Qital. That means the verse that says you go and kill, right? Until they surrender. So how do you explain that now? Tell me.
Well, it's there are people who are preventing those sincere people that may want to convert if the message goes through. Those people are what's that? Now, that means that they're preventing the truth to reach people,
mm-hmm.
mass people, and by not giving them a fair chance to sort of listen to the message and obey or disobey, they are considered very bad, and we should kill them.
Now,
kilograms. Kilokatar, yes. Ahsan.
We discussed kilokatar. Is this Shiraz? We discussed kilokatar.
Yeah. Is this Shiraz Katar related?
No, Shiraz Katar. Shiraz
Katar, right?
Kilokatar. In fact, I know Marhum Mullah, whenever he went to India, he would go to the grave of Kilokatar to recite Fatiha. Because he was one of the first martyrs. And had it not been for his sacrifice, today we would not have been here. We could not have been here, possibly.
Is this thing possibly the only martyr we have? I mean, who else has died in our community?
Well, no, I can't say he's the only one to say. For you know the hadith that says that even if you were to die in the state of wudu, you would die in the matter. So I can't say, but I can definitely say for him that what he gave his life up for was
a very nice article on Kilokatar.
He had the book Memories of Mullah Qadir Sansar.
I have only this article, unfortunately, with a photo of Kilokatar grave at the end, with some Gujarati transcript of the tombstone.
Yeah.
And the actual story of how he was sentenced to death by the British government and hanged.
I've got a take of Mullah said, reciting about Mullah Qadir Hussain.
Yeah? Mullah Qadir Hussain, huh?
Yeah.
Did he mention Mullah Kilokatar in
there? No, he didn't mention that. He was only reciting at the point where, who was the person who sent him?
Ayatullah Zain al-Abidin Mazandarani.
Mazandarani. He was reciting that part, that his experiences in the Hausa, and when he had a dream, when they went to Karbala?
Yes, yes.
From Najaf, they were told, now go and ask my son.
True.
That's the part the Mazandarani was reciting.
Right, let's go. Chai
Bali Asia.
Right, let's go now. فَتَّبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيْءِ. I have just explained what is the difference between Rushd and Haqq. And when it comes to Ghay, the difference between Ghay and Batil.
You don't talk about the reference of this verse to the fact that you cannot force people to come to Islam.
You see, Kay.
This
is the verse. Boilo ye ki ke bay reading chhe, ek statement chhe, ek directive chhe. The directive is that you can't force because
you don't know what's in his heart.
No. The directive is you can't force because that rushd is clear from
force.
Right? The statement is you can never force because it cannot take place.
Yeah.
Right? So there are two
things. I understood that you can't say talwar in Islam.
That's what it means.
So become a Muslim or we kill you.
No, you can't. You can't do
it. I thought
that's the verse. That's the directive. But see, there are Mufassirin who said that this has been abrogated by the verses of Qital. Ayatullah Tabatabai goes on to refute that. Okay, because first of all, something that is abrogated has to be abrogated with its reason as well. Anu reason qad tabayyana rushdu min al-ghayy. So, has that been abrogated? It has not been abrogated. But he explains that jihad in the verses are giving the objective of jihad. Fatilu hatta la takuna fitna. Right? La takuna fitna, fitna sushi. And he proves that fitna is what Arif was just saying. Fitna is that group of people that was blocking the message from getting to them. So there were people who wanted, who would have become Muslims. But this group of people were either torturing them, harassing them. So the message was not getting to them. To remove them so that the basic conveying of message is like water, which is the basic need. You have to kill people who block water. access to water. So it is this group that is. It is not ki alag. If they stop blocking, then fine.
I thought you said this was fasad.
Fitna. Hatta la takuna fitna.
Not fasad.
Fasad. Did I use the word fasad?
Yeah.
No. I give you verses. Who recorded? Fitna. Fitna. Hatta la takuna fitna. That was the word. Two verses we read. And both had the hatta.
What is the exact meaning? Fasad is mischief.
Fasad is mischief. Right? Fasad. Fitna.
It's not telling lies the way we understand. It's doing this, which you said.
Yeah, remember I told you that Gujarati fitna nati.
We said telling lies.
Gujarati fitna at lay any what lay net, yeah? Patat. Nay, Gujarati ni Urdu no fitna.
What he was saying?
Arabic ni andar fitna is that these people who are trying to block access to the message.
I think, remember the mother's mother once mentioned that we say, I'm not doing ghibah, it's the truth. He's saying it's the truth, then it's
ghibah.
If it's a lie, then it's fitna.
No, if it's a lie, then it's a
tohma. I think he used the word fitna.
Did he use fitna? It's tohma.
It's a lie, and it's not
a lie. Python, Jee. Well, fitna to ashaddu min al qatri. Right. Carry go on, please. Let's carry on because there are just a few things before we finish today's Ayatul Kursi. People are eager to start with other things now. But I actually am going to test you today. It's only the beginning. Worse to come yet. Want to find out the things we have done in the past, how much you remember. Please. Because this is now repetition. I don't want to go on and go on and on. People must have understood me. People must have learned at least a few things. Right? Right. In this verse, قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ, we have seen the difference between rushd and haqq, and we see that rushd and ghay is that basic manifestation of what is common sense or sensible. Right? And alaykum salam shaykh. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. Look at the order. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again in this is saying فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ. He does not say فَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ وَيَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ, the first and foremost prerequisite is you denounce everything else and then get to believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ is simple كلمة شهادتين ما سوبر الشيء لا إله إلا الله. The first process is of negating everything else. Then you get on to believing Allah. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ. Now what is طَاغُوت? Aapne kaha je Farsi ma طَاغُوت atle bolo raja nahi badshah je bolo shah ne طَاغُوت bola tha ko. A monarch, a despot is called طَاغُوت. Right.
Respect.
طَاغُوت.
Respect.
Huh?
Respect.
No.
Yeah,
the
rebels.
Rebels, yeah. Taga. Yeah,
rebels. Rebels,
yeah. Oh, no. What has been translated as?
False deities in brackets.
Plural. Tawagut is just one. Tawagut is plural.
Is that the word that we use for shaitan?
You see, tawagut is used for anything that is against, that will take you against Allah. Whether it is Iblis, right? Whether it is an unjust ruler, whether it is a group of friends who will take you against them. Anything that will take you away from Allah is called a tawhid. Right? Anything that will take you away from Allah is labeled as a tawhid. From a yakfur, denounce it, reject them. وَيُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ.
In current modern terms, we consider things like music and drugs and stuff like that as tawhid.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Anything that takes you away.
Any corruption that is seen.
Anything. Corruption is left.
Not money corruption.
Yeah. No, money corruption, corruption, all yeah. Corruption, fasad, fasad ni vartai chhe. That is the fasad, right? Anything, Ema Ayatollah Tabatabai gives example, particular examples of family and friends. Ke our family and friends as well, if they take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then these are taghut and you have to denounce them or keep away from them. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْطَاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. Ama kamal chichi, what Allah is saying, then he has only begun grasping the rope. عروة, عروة سوشي.
I say handle.
Huh?
Handle. Strongest handle.
عروة كي chichi, you know when you have a well, kuwa hoi, a pani kadu hoi, that doll of water, that bucket of water that has to come up, you know, there is, that is the drop, right? That drop is called urwa. Now the beauty is that the moment you grasp the rope, you know you have the bucket in your control. Now you pull the rope so that you get to the bucket. By getting the rope, you have not got the bucket yet.
Oh, you always do it the other way. By grabbing the rope, you've saved yourself. Now you have to start climbing.
That's the whole thing.
This
is what he's saying. The verse is saying that you have grasped the rope. By denouncing them and believing in Allah, you have now grasped the rope. At least now you know where you are. But there is still a battle. You still have to get to the objective, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You still have to get close to Allah. And that is why the word urwa is used. So aptly explained, because urwa is used at that time also, it was used for a rope to rope in the bucket of water. So it says when people grasp the rope, that means they know they have the bucket in their control, they can bring it up or take it down.
What does
wuthqa mean? Wuthqa is wathiq, wathiqa is from the word trust, right? So when you say trustworthy, that means it will do exactly what you tell it to. So urwatul wuthqa means that once you have grasped that particular rope, it will not take you anywhere else. It will take you to the objective. As in a well, when you grasp hold, you know, when you grab hold of the rope, it will take you to the bucket. The bucket will come to you. But you still have to exercise that act of pulling it up. Similarly here, when you denounce other deities and you have faith on Allah, you have just arrived, grasped hold of the rope. Now that much you are sure, okay, that is the rope that is going to take you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there begins another struggle.
It's closer. Is it just an act of supreme laziness that most of us can be bothered to grab the rope?
Subhanallah. لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا, that means it will never break. You will never separate from it. This rope is so staunch. It's the rope that will take you to Allah, provided you first denounce other things and then believe in Allah.
What does it refer to, لَا انْفِصَامَ? Why is that extra emphasis?
Slip the wrist.
They don't longer have the rope.
Of course.
Why is the lamb?
No, you see, Eurati, they don't no longer have the rope. To go up the rope, right? Now these are other things. When they slip down the rope, as long as they don't leave the rope,
The only thing I can think is if you disassociate yourself with all ta'ud and believe in Allah, then that will never be a wrong step. That will always be the right step to do.
So there will always be the right beginning.
That is the firm beginning.
That is the is always going to be the correct beginning. Well, that beginning, ma, lan fisama laha. You will never be mistaken if you do that.
Lan fisama laha. Lan fisama. Fisama again, that's what you're saying.
There will be no breaking, right?
No breaking,
metaphorically.
Metaphorically.
Tawud doesn't also refer to rulers who are arrogant or.
All. Arrogant, at least, you see, they are outside the arrogance. Fir'aun, look at it, إِذَهَ بِلَا فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ
طَغَى.
Right? That means they have that arrogance. It's not arrogance, it's more rebellious. That's what it is.
Not necessarily that they themselves think of themselves
as
Qudan.
Not necessarily. Right. وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. That now Allah is listening and He knows. Now that you have embarked on that rope, you have grasped hold of the rope, right? Now Allah is listening and He knows to what you are going to do. And that is the uphill struggle. Okay, the next verse that begins, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu yukhrijuhum min al-thulumati ila al-nur. والذين كفروا أولياءهم الطاغوت.
No, sorry, come back to this one. You were saying that the bottom of every verse, the sifat of Allah, there are the significant ones. Allah is Sami'un Alim.
Yes. How would you relate it to the verse?
I mean, literally, because Allah hears everything, He knows everything. But why these two are not something else? But you can't fool Him, He knows what's inside you. You can say what you like.
You know,
coming back to
La ikraha fi din goes back to Alim. The people can say what they like, but He knows.
And what about the Sami'?
Sami' is that urwatul wuthqa. Once you have grasped hold of it, He is hearing. He is listening to you as you progress along. That is the link.
And He knows how sincere you are or
not. Hey, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu wali. Wali, isn't it? It is a word, it is a concept that needs at least, I think, you know, a good full or two sessions to discuss. Currently, I prefer to say Ali and Wali Allah. That means what? Ali is the Wali of Allah. Ama get here, Allah is the Wali of believers. So, a concept. Message. Khuda ya mara wali shi na Imam Ali ya wali shi Khuda. How does it work? Therefore, huh? Mawla works as what? Same way as Mawla works. Mawla is Khuda ya Mawla shi. Yeah, ordinary Mawla ya Mawla na shi.
No,
he
didn't put Mawla. He
talked about the people, not
of Mawla. No, but we tell you Imam Zamana. One of the du'as they said to Imam Zamana, I am your Mawla.
أنا مولاك عارفهم بولاك وأخرات.
مدرسة ما سوسي كاريشة. ولي is the beloved of Allah. مدرسة ما يسي كاريشة.
لا بس. But Allah ولي الذين آمنوا سوجة.
Guardian.
Guardian it says here.
Guardian.
No, but مولا also means servant, ne? Slave. Get it? مولا means like the imam was being attended by two of his مولاs. In that scenario, it means two of the slaves. Okay?
Wilayat, you know, wilayat is a very broad concept. The concept of wilayat is such a broad concept. Wilayat, first and foremost, belongs to Allah only. Right? First and foremost, belongs to Allah. Because wilayat means the guardianship, the protecting, the ability, the power, everything. Allah has total control of our life, But so He has wilayat of our lives. He can guard us, He can protect us, He can ward evils of us, and so on. First and foremost is Allah. Then He gives this wilayat to His messenger, that is the Holy Prophet, and to the Imams. So the wilayat that Imams have over us is the power they have over us The Prophet has power over us. He controls our lives. The Prophet, if he tells us to jump, we have to ask how high. That is the kind of wilayat that the Prophet has been given over us. That is the kind of control that the Prophet has been given over us. And so have all the Imams been given. Right? So, this is one meaning of wilayat. The second meaning of wilayat that comes from bottoms up, evolution top down, where they have control over our lives. The second one of wilayat is where we succumb to this authority. And we say, we are your awliya, we want to get under that authority that you have been granted. You see, when we acknowledge that Allah has power over our lives, we want to get under the power that Allah exercises over our lives. And so does the Holy Prophet, and so does the Imams. So, jyare apne ke Imam Ali al-Islam waliullah che, that means that Allah is his wali, but because Imam Ali al-Islam loves to do exactly what Allah wants him to do, therefore he is his wali. It works both ways. I conceptually too complicated here, wali no. That is why in English translation I can guarantee you, okay, you pick up the word wali and all its derivatives in Quran, in Arabic, you will find a different word, different meanings used in the Quran translation. Guarantee. Aek ayat ma Allahu waliyul ladina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur wal ladina kafaru awliyaahum at-taghut. Is it the same word you used?
Daniel.
Huh?
Let's use your guardians as well, remember the guardians. Isn't it true that the word wali itself has got many meanings in
Arabic? Very many meanings. There are many meanings
that prem che, master che, slave che.
See, these are English equivalents of a concept that is one in its essence. Right? Wilayat nu je samajhvanu che is one concept in its essence. But because its derivatives hoy ne pachi wali, English ni andar you cannot derive, you know, for example, of a slave thing. What does slave mean? Slave means succumbing to the powers and the authority of the master. Right? However, it has the same sense of meaning where you can describe in Arabic, like you can change the derivative. But in English you can't. Amache, you can say, for example, Allah is the master of those who believe. Right? But he's used the word guardian.
In other place he has used the same word for three different. Allah is your guardian, wali, and the prophet, and
innama waliyukum Allahu wa rasuluhu walladheena amanu.
Imam Ali. But all those wali are not the same, no?
They're not the same, to a degree of course, relative. But similar.
Like normally, because wali has only been used once, wouldn't it mean that it is the same degree
almost? Can I? You see, ek che, when it comes to the authority that the Prophet and the Imams exercise over us, is the same authority that Allah would exercise over us, because they would not do anything that Allah would not like. Right? So basically it's the same authority. But absolute authority is Allah. Right, so inshallah sometime we'll talk with examples. Haskani Amasina interesting things which you will like study karo in it. People think they are super natural human beings. People think they are ordinary human beings. And they are neither. They are people, human beings who have been endowed with this wilayah. Now, wilayat chane, apne sifat al milani je kya Allah chhe kya samjho. I don't know if you understood that. You see, he brought about an interesting concept, which is the true meaning of the wilayat of Hajj. Right? He says spiritually, in that spiritual world,
we're talking about something about the moon. You're talking about
the existence of the Imam is like the existence of gravity in the physical world. If gravity was not there, what would happen to this world? Can you imagine what would happen? Similarly, in the world of spirits, if the Imam was not there even for an hour, right? If an imam was not there even for an hour, then what would happen in the physical world without gravity would happen in the world of spirits. That is the concept of wilaya, the authority and power and control that imams have over our lives, we don't know. It is going on out there in that world. He is privy to our souls, to our actions, to our deeds, to our du'as, everything. We are simply not aware. And His presence, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is what is holding this in harbor. So, got to understand. Okay, the existence of imam means wilayat. The wilayat, the concept, we study about the imams only. Okay, who are they, what qualities they have, what authority they have over us. What kind of control do they have over us? You'll be surprised. But see, then you will begin to appreciate it. Imam deserves the reverence that we give them, the respect that we pay them. Right? Right. Ayat make interesting concept here. Kem Bulumat is in plural and Noor is singular. Ahsan. The true path is only one. Whereas the falsehood, the Bulumat, the darkness.
What is the plural of singular zulma?
Zulma.
Huh?
Zulmatun.
But can that work? Because the darkness is not in existence by itself. It's only the absence of light. I mean, where there's no light, there's darkness.
That is in this one.
Surely the next is a similar thing.
No. You see, even as it exists. Remember last time I told you this verse. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ وَمَا نَزِلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. Remember this verse? 15:21. Right? That means that whatever is there on this earth is but a small portion of what is held with Allah. So that means there is another level of existence where everything exists, everything coexists together. In this world, where contradictory things or contradictions cannot exist, coexist. In that world, they can coexist. That means that darkness and light, whereas we cannot even comprehend its coexistence. Right? At a certain point, they are coexisting. The Quran ayat is clear. Ja'ala al-layla wa-nahar. وَالنُّورَ وَالظُّلُمَاتِ. He made light and darkness. Just the way He made light, He made darkness. Here, darkness is absence of light. But in a certain kind of existence, before it came to represent absence of light in this world, there exists differences. And darkness exists equally just like lightness.
But here it's metaphorical. So this
Amatu is meaning good ignorance, guidance and ignorance.
Surely ignorance is like to say the absence of guidance.
No, there are many paths of darkness where there's only one path of light.
I thought there are also many paths of light. Allah says there are many paths towards me.
Subul. Sirat
Kach. Yeah. Well, this is Subul or Sirat or both.
You see, as far as light is concerned, it's only His light.
If it signifies truth, there is only one truth. But there are many wrongs.
Right. Hey. Ina pachi nitra naayat. Ayatul kursi apati yeh jayen. Let me just go on. Ulaika ashabun nari hum fiha khalidun. Hum fiha khalidun means they are there in it. Permanently, yeah? Hamesha. So there is a concept of eternity.
We discussed it. Khalidun
was. Sushi, yeah?
The khalidun. You were saying you thought Khalidun meant permanent.
Oh.
We were saying Khalidun Abada means permanent. And then we look in the dictionary and Khalidun means to live in permanent.
Abasur.
Bija Mashi Abada Kaja.
Jannat Mother Abada on this.
Huh.
Right?
Huh? Because the idea was, you were saying, there is a way out of hell.
Ah, you see the
few people
can get for what Sirin argued, they say, okay, how can, this is God's justice, yeah? The Quran is justice, can say, it come, what a sinner was because of my life. How can I deserve something permanent when I did for only something? Right? There's a whole argument like that, and the scholars are still thinking. Can't find answers. The Quran is very clear, permanent. Right? So, why is the difference, Khalidun, Khalidun, Abadan, all that? It's a very complicated argument, bahas.
Why should you, for 70 years of obedience, why should you get everlasting bliss?
The same grounds, right? Bliss is something good, nobody will refuse. For punishment, everybody will argue, right? Everybody try and defend. Okay, bhai, Ashama, Nemane, Mayru, Chi.
There's
no way we can change anymore.
Yes. It's all relative, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, suppose people living with Nabi Nuh as long as he was.
Yeah. And despite that, what he says?
The rushd comes to him when he's 1700 years old.
What did he say?
Somebody, the hidayat comes to him when he's 2000 years old.
Ji. Darkness. Darkness will include everything. Darkness would include the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of evil deeds. يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Right? Yet those who believe in Allah,
they can still be in Zulumat, according to
Yet those who believe in Allah can be in Zulumat. That's the point you were trying to raise. That those who believe are in darkness. And they, as they believe, they go from darkness to light. That means they get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So what it means, someone who believes, at the end he will be in the light.
No, at the end is Allah will try and take it. Allah will bring for
at the end, maybe. By the time he lives, he dies.
If you look at the next one.
Someone who believes, Allah will take him out from darkness to light.
Now
it means maybe at the end of his lifetime, whatever, he will be
light. If you look at the other one,
you can't deduce from that.
If you look at the second half, the rebels are the guardians. They take them out from the light into the darkness. So as you persevere in your disbelief, so you move into your from light into the darkness.
That's the kind of grayscale, isn't it?
Yeah. So what's the other way around, eh?
You have darkness to light and light to darkness.
Yeah.
So when you stop believing,
or you stop to slip. Stop believing, you go from where you are into worse. And when you start believing, you go from good to better.
Well, it shows just how dangerous the ta'wud are. You could be on the right path, then get involved with ta'wud, and then you are just
brought back to darkness. The example of Bala'am ibn Ba'ura is there in the Quran. Bala'am ibn Ba'ura, there's a story here who is reduced to, as being mentioned in the Quran, like a dog. When in actual fact he was at a time so pious and so high, he could see the throne, the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can imagine that by just one or two things. And what led to that? Just envy and jealousy. Envy and jealousy.
Okay,
Prophet Musa
is
shamare banayo, mane
kemna
banayo.
He expected to be
made the Prophet. So one small slip.
For Shaitan, he wasn't envy and jealousy, he was pride, straightforward.
He says that very clearly.
But it was a great sin, eh?
Keno?
He was saying it's a
small thing, you know, the small thing.
Small thing, relatively, you're right. The higher you are, the small things are large.
That means he has no belief in Allah. He has not submitted to the will of Allah.
No, he had. He had risen very high.
At the end of the day, he could not accept.
That means his submission was not on firm grounds. Or not on firm grounds. Yes, you're right. That is where, ek nani chijayin ne halayde. That means,
maybe that was a test for him.
It was, but he failed. He failed. No, no, example is like a dog. Right. Chajar varas ni baad pani mangi. Pani mani aagra. Have aaj mane sambhru chhe. Ke after this verse of Ayatul Kursi, je next three verses chhe ne, ena vishe koi tafsir kare. Yadavish? Who have done this here? Have we done this? Yeah? There was a link between the three. What is the link? And each of the three has certain messages.
Yes.
I don't know what this is here.
And you notice Allah only gives a sifat after the three verses, not after each verse in turn.
I haven't noticed that.
The theme of three verses is guidance.
Jee?
The theme is guidance.
The theme is guidance,
The different ways.
Different ways.
The logical argument, the first one.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not remembering, I'm just reading. And then the next verse is the next level up. Allah demonstrates something to increase the person's faith.
True.
Then the higher level.
So Allah gives you the power to do it, your son.
Yes, to show it. You've done this.
Once.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that's
it. June.
June 99, was it?
No, 2000.
Only a few months ago.
No, yeah, that's it.
Oh,
going back.
Actually,
that's
it. So, like,
He discusses at length. He doesn't start by just arguments. I think you're convinced a particular. He takes you through the whole process. And there is evidence in the Quran, in history, where people have gone through all the three processes. The first process is just arguments based on verbal and intellectual arguments, which convince thai. And then the second level is where Allah demonstrates. Right? And the third is where Allah gives the person the power to be able to do it himself. Whether it is the power to resurrect from the dead, like Prophet Ibrahim had, Prophet Isa had, or it is the power to create things, like Prophet Isa was given to create a bird or a mold of clay, bird ne pachi karine starts flying. So all this is the third and final higher stage of guidance.
It's available on the net as well.
Is it? Okay.
Al-Mizan.org.
Has he updated all the books? He hasn't, eh?
He has done the first part. And it's available definitely in printed form.
Nine is
the printers, and Siddhartha is working on number 10. But what is available in the library is still, just out of interest, is still Surah An-Nisa, ayat 78. So that's plenty.
See, the first two or three volumes is in what Ayatollah Tabatabai has tackled concepts. We talk of this concept of I'jaz al-Qur'an, the Qur'an is a miracle. Remember the concept we discussed, the Qur'an is a miracle, and what is a miracle, right? The concept of creation of Adam and Iblis refusing to do sajda and so on, the concept of sinning, the concept of shafa'ah, so many concepts, right? Is the first 4 or 5 volumes. And it is those that would actually need real proper concentration. Read, study, understand. Okay, we come to the end of Ayatul Kursi, yeah? And as promised, we will now start with Akhlaqiyat. At long last, yeah, at long last, yeah. Okay, Akhlaqiyat ma. I was thinking of studying Surah Al-Hujurat. Because Surah Al-Hujurat is one of the most important surahs in Akhlaqiyat. I don't know if you've read the meaning of Surah Al-Hujurat. Surah number 49. It's the surah that lays down parameters. Code of leadership, social interaction, and individual level.